Welcome to a deep dive where we unpack complex topics using source material you provide. Today, we're looking at a presentation by Willie Tomboy from a Warsaw conference, May 2025. It's his personal take as an EU citizen on end-of-life vehicle regulation, ELV.
Right, ELV. It's pretty crucial stuff, how we handle cars and trucks when they're well done being vehicles.
Exactly. And it covers everything from making them to recycling targets. And really importantly, who foots the bill at the end?
Oh, financial responsibility. Yeah, that's often the sipping point.
And that's the focus here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Making the rules actually work. Functional, transparent, understandable. That's what the presenter aimed for and what we'll try to explore.
Yeah, not just rules on paper. And the source really hammers home one core idea running through all of this. Traceability and information sharing. Knowing where a vehicle is, this whole life story, basically.
Okay, so that's our thread. Let's unpack this, our mission. Pull out the key bits on extended producer responsibility, EPR, especially the money side. Look at the challenges the source sees in the new proposal and solutions being suggested. You might be surprised by the details needed to make laws work.
Definitely. So where did this all start? Europe's approach to old cars.
Well, according to this presentation, the actual talks, commission, and industry, they kicked off way back 1997.
Wow. Okay. So quite a history.
And that led to the first big step, the official ELV directive, published September 18th, 2000.
Right. And then member states had a deadline to align their own laws.
Yep. Until April 21st, 2002.
And that original 2000 directive, it was hugely influential. The presentation calls it the backbone for ELV management in Europe.
And it sparked similar laws elsewhere, too, globally.
Yeah, and importantly, as of May 2025, when this talk was given, that original directive, it was still the one technically in force.
Okay, so let's talk money under that existing law. What were the key financial rules back then?
Three main things, really. First, the last owner shouldn't have to pay to drop off their old car at an authorized treatment facility, an ATF.
No cost for the last owner.
Got it.
And an ATF, just quickly, is the licensed scrapyard, right? The place that handles depollution, dismantling safely.
Exactly. Point two, the producers, manufacturers, importers, distributors, they were meant to cover a significant part of these ELV management costs.
A significant part. Sounds a bit vague.
It was. And the third point was, a cost could be charged if the car was incomplete. Missing an engine, say.
Okay. But then things got complicated. This is where the push for new rules came in.
Big time. The source points to a commission investigation. It found a single and continuous infringement across the whole European economic area.
Continuous.
For how long?
Over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
May 2002, right up to September 2017. The presentation says this finding shocked the industry.
I bet. What kind of infringement?
It seems related to how those financial rules were actually being applied,
yep.
Maybe not applied consistently. Mm-hmm. Who was paying? Was the system working as intended?
Right.
And that whole episode made it crystal clear. Financial responsibilities needed to be spelled out much, much better in any new regulation. And this loops right back to that core theme you mentioned, traceability.
Exactly. The source argues pretty strongly that if you can guarantee traceability, track the vehicle through its whole life, then the financial responsibility becomes unquestionably clear.
Makes sense. If you know who sold it, where it lived, where it died, basically, assigning the cost is easier.
Precisely. It's a key recommendation to the policymakers putting together the new rules.
So that brings us to the new proposal, published July 13th, 2023. How does it try to fix the financial side?
Well, it tries using a few different articles. Let's start with Article 16, Extended Producer Responsibility.
Okay, so this defines what producers have to do.
Pretty much. The old directive spread the recycling target responsibility around, but this new Article 16 really focuses on the producers. They have to ensure vehicles they put on the market get collected and treated properly when they become ELVs.
So they're responsible for collection and treatment. Does Article 16 say they have to pay for it?
That's the interesting part. According to the source, Article 16 itself does not refer to any cost or financing.
Really? So where's the money part handled?
That's Article 20, specifically titled Financial Responsibility of Producers. This is where the financing of EPR gets detailed.
Ah, okay.
And surprise, surprise, the source notes that what this article really boils down to is...
I guess. Information sharing and traceability.
You got it. It links the money side to being able to track the vehicle.
Okay, Article 20 links finance to info. What about Article 21?
Article 21 is about fee modulation. It says the fees producers pay into these producer responsibility organizations, PROs, have to be modulated, adjusted based on certain criteria.
And PROs are the groups producers often set up to handle these obligations together, right?
Correct.
So fees paid to the PROs need adjusting. Why? And based on what?
Well, that's where the concerns come in. The source flags potential additional administrative burdens, you know, complex IP, bookkeeping, controls.
A lot of hassle. Does the source think it's worth it? The benefit of modulating fees versus just having a fixed fee?
It questions the additional benefit, yeah. But it does concede modulation might make sense for differentiating, say, a passenger car from a massive truck. Or maybe even a small city car versus a big SUV.
So some differentiation could be okay, but maybe not super granular modulation.
That seems to be the drift. And who decides exactly how to modulate? That's left to negotiation between the national authorities and the PRO in each country.
Okay.
And guess what? Article 21 can also be linked back to information and traceability. The better the data, the more you could theoretically modulate fees.
Right. So Art 16 defines EPR. Art 20 links finance to info. Art 21 talks fee modulation. But the source suggests the real drama is around Article 22.
Oh, yeah. Article 22. This is the proposed cost allocation mechanism for vehicles becoming ELVs in another member state.
So figuring out who pays when a car sold in, say, Germany ends up scrapped in Poland.
Exactly that. The commission's aim on paper is to, one, initiate a cost mechanism, and two, facilitate cross-border EPR.
Seems logical enough.
But the source immediately questions point one. Why initiate a cost mechanism here? Isn't finance already covered in Articles 20 and 21? It seems redundant.
Good point. And the source lists major challenges with Article 22 itself.
A whole list. The sheer complexity of money potentially flowing between 27 member states. Big questions about cross-border registration data. Very high predicted admin burden.
That sounds like a nightmare to manage.
Plus worries about data accuracy, long-term financing across borders, even political and operational risks. It's a long list.
And the source makes a pretty bold claim about it, right?
Very bold. It says Article 22 does not address and solve the initial challenges, the things the old system struggled with, like illegal scrapyards, illegal exports of wrecks, poor registration systems, bad traceability of ELVs.
So it's trying to solve a complex cross-border payment issue without fixing the underlying problems that make tracking hard in the first place.
That's the argument. And again, it comes down to information sharing and traceability. If you can't reliably track the car, how can you fairly allocate its end-of-life cost across borders?
It's not just the presenter saying this either. The source mentions ACEA, the Car Manufacturers Association.
Yep. ACEA commented they think this mechanism is just unnecessary increase of bureaucracy without any benefit for the environment.
Strong words. What do they suggest?
Delete Article 22 entirely. And instead, focus on making sure member states properly enforce the rules on professional used car importers being treated as producers.
Ah, target the businesses bringing used cars in professionally.
Exactly. And maybe define professional clearly, like setting a maximum number of cars a private individual can import before they count as professional.
Okay, that sounds more targeted. And there's another group, too, the WPE.
Right. The working party on the environment part of the EU Council structure, they basically agreed with ACA. In late 2024, they told the Hungarian presidency that Article 22 meant unjustifiable increase of bureaucracy without any benefit for the environment.
And their conclusion?
The whole article needs to be deleted.
Wow. So industry and a key EU Council body both saying get rid of it. What about the PROs themselves, the ones who'd have to run this?
The source mentions a voluntary ELV stakeholder forum, including QROs. It started in 2022, and 12 organizations from that forum. They voiced strong concerns and officially proposed deleting or amending Article 22. The people on the ground don't think it'll work.
Okay, so if Article 22 as written is so problematic, is there another way? A proposed solution.
Yes, thankfully. The source points to an EU Council discussion where the Netherlands basically said, look, we're having serious difficulties understanding how this Article 22 mechanism would even work in practice.
They couldn't see how to make the cross-border payments happen reliably.
Seems like it. So the Netherlands proposed changing Article 22. Instead of complex cost allocation, focus it more on sharing information between member states.
Information, not money transfers. How would that work?
Well, crucially, the Dutch proposal does not require cross-border payments. Big plus. It allows fees to be collected in each country based on registration there, including professionally imported used cars.
So the country where the car is registered collects the fee. Simple.
Simpler, yes. And it ensures information exchange. Like when a car registered in France is scrapped in Spain, Spain sends the certificate of destruction, the COD info, back to France, so France knows the car is properly dealt with.
That sounds much more achievable. Did other countries like this idea?
Apparently, yes. The source mentions strong willingness to stand behind the Dutch proposal from Slovakia, the Czech Republic, and authorities in other member states. It's seen as a potential way out.
Does the source give any detail on what the amended Article 22 text might look like?
It gives the essence. It focuses on authorities making sure their national systems have accurate data on registered vehicles, including tracking collected EPR fees, making sure all vehicles put on the market get registered, and ensuring info on scrapped vehicles with a COD is recorded, confirming proper treatment by ATFs.
So really doubling down on robust national systems and information flow between them?
Exactly. And the ELE Stakeholder Forum's proposal to amend Article 22, it's right in line with the proposal from the Netherlands.
Okay, so the consensus seems to be shifting towards information, not cross-border cash.
It seems that way. The source sums it up. All these concerns clearly indicate that something is seriously wrong with this article. And the confusion, it argues it comes simply down to unclear, even wrongly used terminology in several definitions.
Back to basics. Definitions again. Sounds like getting the wording right is critical. Which definitions are causing problems?
The source flags two key ones about putting vehicles onto the market. Article 3, paragraph 19, placing on the market. And Article 3, paragraph 20, making available on the market.
Okay, placing on the market is making available a vehicle for the first time in the Union.
Yeah.
Like the very first time it exists in the EU market.
Right, usually linked to the manufacturer and the initial EU-wide type approval. But then making available on the market, Art 320, is defined as supply a vehicle for distribution or use on the market in the course of a commercial activity.
Okay, so what's the confusion there?
The source asks, does market here mean the whole union or just a specific member state? Does commercial activity actually mean professional activity? Is this definition talking about the importer or distributor within a country? It's just not precise enough.
Yeah, those distinctions seem vital for knowing who's responsible where.
Totally. So the proposal from the source is to tweak Art 320, making available, change commercial activity to professional activity, and explicitly add in the member state. Make it clearer this is about introducing a vehicle within a specific country professionally.
And that ties into the definition of producer.
Exactly. The current proposed definition of producer, Art 322, covers manufacturers, importers, or distributors supplying a vehicle for the first time for distribution or use within the member state on a professional basis. The source wants to sharpen this too.
How? First, explicitly add professional before importer or distributor. Reinforce that. And second, define professional with a number. For instance, supplying at least 20 vehicles per year in that member state.
A clear threshold. Why 20?
The source suggests aligning it with existing type approval thresholds for private imports, just for consistency.
Okay, so clarifying producer helps. What about manufacturer?
The source argues the manufacturer is the one doing the initial placing on the market in the union via type approval. They suggest formally adding the standard definition of manufacturer, the entity responsible for type approval, conformity, etc., directly into the ELV regulation text itself for absolute clarity.
So better definitions of placing, making available producer, and manufacturer make the whole chain of responsibility much clearer.
That's the argument. And with that clarity, modifying Article 22 to focus on information exchange, like the Netherlands proposed, makes much more sense. The responsibilities are clear, so you just need the data flow.
It really does all seem to circle back to that core idea.
It absolutely does. Traceability and information sharing is crucial in all of this. The source basically says this needs to be priority number one for policymakers.
Because even perfect definitions don't help if you can't track the actual cars and the systems needed for that tracking. They're not quite there yet.
Not fully, no. For example, using the certificate of destruction properly, Article 25, is vital, but the source states flatly this is clearly not the case yet.
And the electronic systems, the hubs and databases.
Things like the Move Hub, the EU Single Window for Customs, SWE. The regulation requires them to be linked up with national vehicle registers, roadworthiness systems, and the producer registers, Art 45, Art 16. But again, the source says this is clearly not the case yet. The plumbing isn't connected properly.
So let me try and synthesize the source's main point here. if you get the information sharing right. If you ensure traceability for both new and used cars. If the certificate of destruction system works, if the electronic databases are connected, and if the definitions are crystal clear.
Yes. Then the financial producer responsibilities can actually work as intended.
And crucially, it works without additional bureaucratic and cumbersome administrative burdens, like that original Article 22 proposal threatened. Burdens that just add costs for everyone involved.
Exactly. That's the vision presented. Fix the foundations first.
The source ends with a hope, right?
Yeah.
That the Polish presidency, the parliament, the commission will seriously look at these solutions.
Yes. Focusing on definitions and functional systems. Because, as the source puts it, this is key to the success of implementing the ELV regulation.
Okay, that wraps our deep dive into this specific source material on the EU's end-of-life vehicle rules.
We've covered quite a bit.
Yeah, from the history of the original directive, that long infringement period.
To the new proposal, the details of Article 16, 20, 21 on EPR and finance.
And that really contentious Article 22 on cross-border costs.
We saw how stakeholders, industry, EU bodies, PROs raised serious red flags about Article 22 being just too bureaucratic.
And we explored the alternative path, championed by the Netherlands, focusing on robust information sharing instead of complex money transfers.
Which all hinges on getting those foundational elements right. Especially the definitions. Producer, placing, making available. Getting that terminology precise is critical.
Absolutely. The core message from the source really seems to be the success of this whole environmental policy relies on nailing the basics.
Yeah.
Clear definitions and systems that actually track vehicles properly.
It's true. Ambitious goals need solid foundations, accurate words, and reliable data.
So here's a final thought for you, our listener. Think about how something seemingly dry, like the precise legal definition of a producer, or the technical challenge of making national databases talk to each other, can have such huge real-world impacts on the environment, on levels of bureaucracy, on who pays for what across the whole continent.
It really highlights the hidden infrastructure behind big regulations, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Makes you appreciate the complexity involved.
Indeed. Policy, definitions, data systems, they're all deeply interconnected.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We hope it's given you some valuable insights into the nitty-gritty of ELV regulation.